As some of you probably know, I'm a little bit of a sports nut. I love watching sports and I love playing sports when I can and as I can. And my favorite sport is, how did you know? I guess I talk about it from time to time. I love to cheer for the Vancouver Canucks. I also hate to cheer for the Vancouver Canucks. And I love cheering for all the Canadian teams, the men, the women, the young teams, and the pros. My newest passion in hockey, of course, is cheering for the Vancouver Goldeneyes, our professional women's hockey team. If you haven't been to a game yet, I recommend it. It's a different kind of sporting experience. It's marvelous. And it might come as a surprise to some of you, if you don't already know this, I even play hockey. On the ice. At almost 60, in the shape that I'm in, I'm still trying to play, with my bad knees and all. I love the game. But maybe even more than the sport itself, I love being part of a team. It brings together my two passions of hockey and community. Two of my passions, anyway. And this past week, you know, I experienced a beautiful example of why it means so much to me. I keep thinking, I don't know if I can keep going on the ice. I make a fool of myself every time. But a new hockey season is starting this week, as a matter of fact. And I'm the team manager, so I'm making sure that everyone gets signed up properly and they have to pay their league fees. And it's kind of a pain, honestly. But I got a short text from one of the newer members of our team. This guy is in his late 30s. And he was texting to say that he paid his fees. But then he also said, also wanted to say a big thank you for everything you do. Feel lucky to have found such a great group of guys. Now that might not seem like such a big deal to some of you, but that last phrase is huge. It made my week, no, it made my month. More than the sport, the competition, this is why I organized that team. To create a little pocket of genuine, welcoming community. In a hockey dressing room, of all places. It is the first step towards the ultimate goal of beloved community. And in a very real sense, this is part of my missionary work. That is doing my mission, which is to share in and help create beloved community. Beloved community that I believe we all need, and to which God, by whatever name we call God, calls us all. Our modern world seems to be in a state of almost constant crisis, right? Economic crisis, political crisis, climate crisis, a crisis of mental health, crisis of addictions to opiates and other substances. And I would suggest that underneath all of these different crises that are all very serious, all underneath these different crises are the acute spiritual crises of our times. And none are more serious than the crisis of loneliness, isolation, and dislocation. If we live here in the city, we all have people all around us, right? We're surrounded by people. But very few of those people really know us, truly know us. We know that modern technology, which is supposed to help us, sometimes makes the crisis worse. And we are living in a time when many of our young people are more comfortable connecting with a screen than they are in person. Teachers are struggling with this every day, right? Do we ban the phones? Do we not? What do we do? I have several young adults in my life who are struggling to connect in so many ways. We are living in a time when, even if we're not young people, we can easily feel isolated in this world. Whether we are introverts or extroverts, we live in community. We need community. One of the strongest basic needs of all humans is the need to belong. And we find this in a variety of ways, such as at work, or perhaps here at church, in various social settings, even a hockey team at the very bottom division. Social gatherings, meetups. Might just be walking on the bike, or bicycling, or gardening in the community garden, or volunteering. When we hear the word family, we sang about being part of a family. We might think about a mom and a dad, or maybe two moms, two dads, but a couple of parents, maybe some kids. And generally, they all live in the same home. But that is not what family meant in the first century of the Common Era, the time of Jesus. It's not what it means in many other cultures, even today. Family in Jesus' culture was far more robust. And some of us come from cultures where family means a lot more than that very small group of related people, right? In Jesus' time, too, it was your parents, your grandparents, your aunts and uncles and cousins, and even close friends and business partners were all part of the group that you might call family. What many cultures call kin, people who may not be actually related to you by blood, but are like family to you. Social scientists call these groups fictive kinship groups. In more ordinary language these days, we often call them chosen family or found family. Someone pointed out recently that many of our favorite TV shows are in fact about these fictive kinship groups, or found family, chosen family. Think about your favorite TV shows or movies. For some of us old-timers, we might think of, I Love Lucy. How about Cheers? Norm! Or Seinfeld, one of my favorites. Friends? They were more than friends, weren't they? What's your favorite TV show or movie? Think about it. Seinfeld, too? Yeah. They were family to each other, weren't they? Sometimes more than their own families. Isn't that just the way? Frasier, yeah, another good one. It's okay, we're dating ourselves, it's all right. One of the newer ones that I love, too, is The Bear. Oh, it's good. What's that? Trying, oh yes! My wife has watched that, I haven't yet. Yeah, and is it about chosen family, too? Of course, like so many of them. And, you know, it's true of movies, too. Even unlikely movies, like, I don't know if there's many Avengers fans here, but think about it, that's about chosen family, too. Or Star Wars. Or Lord of the Rings. And it's okay, I know I'm being upstaged by one of the younger members of this kinship group. And it's totally fine. Because that's what it means to be part of this sound family. We are about being connected to each other deeply. And we do life together. It's a great image, really, of what Jesus is calling his followers to become. A community that is like the ancient Mediterranean family, or the not-so-ancient family in some cultures, but not so much our own these days. A large, extended kinship group who live and work and sometimes fight and make up and grow together. If we want to apprentice under Jesus into the people who are pervaded by love, we need this practice of beloved community. Not just friendship, not just friendliness, certainly not niceness, so much more. And we don't find it, that kind of true beloved community, just by going to church on Sunday morning. Sorry, it's not enough. As friendly and as good as it can be before and after church, and maybe even during, the kind of deep connections that we all need require more. True beloved community is a hunger, a longing in all human beings. Our connections with one another, however, are fractured for most of us in some way. We feel we can't talk to one another without offending someone. We've been hearing more and more these days about how families are divided by politics or other things. There's an undertone of suspicion that tends to invade our communication with folks in our community sometimes. The reality is, it's not about getting back to the old ways, where church was the center of life for all activities of a fairly homogenous group of people. What we need are connecting in a new kind of way of acceptance and understanding one another across divides that have generally kept us separate. God created us to live in community, and God longs to be with us in community. God loves to walk with us through our lives and be with us as we gather. God loves community, and as we reflected back in May on Trinity Sunday, God is community and calls us into community. Being a disciple of Jesus, an apprentice or follower of Jesus, means becoming part of that new kinship, that new kind of family. That's an ancient kind of family, too. Going beyond Sunday morning attendance and truly connecting with each other, gathering around tables with muffins and hamburgers and all kinds of other things. It means sharing our joy and pain, sharing our mistakes, and helping each other grow, being truly known and truly loved through the practice of community. So how do we do this in a healthy way? Because, let's face it, the church has no monopoly on good, beloved community. In fact, the church is sometimes the worst example of it. We've all experienced dysfunctional and toxic communities in various forms. It's hard work. But here are a few basic ingredients. We'll go to the next slide, please, Michelle. I think it's there. There it is. So how do we do community in a healthy way? How can we discover our story within other people's story, all within God's story? Here are four aspects or ingredients of the practice of beloved community. The first is to be together, around the table, either a real table or a metaphorical table, to gather, to get together, like we do today, and in many other ways. To be in smaller groups, larger groups, part of the choir, volunteering, a Bible study, a walking group, a service group, whatever it is. And sharing, truly, with each other, when we feel safe, when we know it's safe, our joys and our sorrows, being willing to be vulnerable. And, oh, the hard work of beloved community is working through our hurts, our disagreements, conflict. Oh, it seems so much easier to avoid it, and we are good at that, many of us. But deep beloved community doesn't really happen unless we work through hurts and disagreements and conflict. It takes that kind of commitment and willingness, and a willingness, a commitment to stay together and to grow together. These are the practices that need to be practiced. We have to practice them. They have to be integrated into our everyday lives so that they can form life in the company of Jesus, guided by God's Spirit, to become like Christ, to do as he did in community. So we actually need to get together and make time for each other. We need to share our true selves. And that doesn't happen without safety and trust. We need to work together through discomfort. And we need to resist the temptation that many of us experience to complain and to judge and to criticize each other. Ugh. Sometimes families suck at that. And we're no different. I don't know if you noticed that list of gifts that Paul mentions in our reading today. If you have the gift of teaching, you should teach. If you have the gift of serving, you should serve. It doesn't say if you have the gift of complaining or the gift of criticizing and judging. Those are not listed. It actually has the opposite. It has the gift of encouragement, which is so important. That one word from that one player on my hockey team will keep me going for months, right? But even if it made my month, if the next day or the next minute I got some sense of judgment from somewhere else, deflation. Sadly, we are more sensitive and more aware of the criticism than we are of the encouragement. And that's true for most of us. Some of us have a special kind of personality and thick skin. I am not one of those people. Most of us aren't. It affects us. So friends, I want to invite you to be part of a kinship group. Here, somewhere else. To find deep community connection with each other by engaging in these practices, by taking the risk. Henry Nouwen, one of the great spiritual thinkers and actors of our time, said the Christian community is not a closed circle of people embracing each other. It is a forward-moving group of companions bound together by the same voice. It reminded me of the Fellowship of the Ring from Lord of the Rings. If you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. But the voice of the one who says, I am with you. The one who says, feed my sheep. Love one another as I have loved you. Right? Whatever you do to the least of these, you do it to me, says that voice. Through Christ, we can enter a new kind of family that offers intimacy and joy and healing and hard work. God bless us as we engage in beloved community.